In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Of all the gospel lessons for this Lenten season, today's lesson might seem to be the most important for us to hear and learn in this age of pestilence, war, and death. Not that this age is distinct from any other age, for every age since the fall has been an age of pestilence, war, and death. And so it is that our Lord's teaching here is perpetually relevant. Here our Lord Jesus teaches us to live and to die without fear, to go about the business that God has given us without fear or anxiety. For in life and in death, we are the Lord's. We have been bought at a price. The price is the very blood of God. Jesus went about his life and his death fearlessly. Indeed, nothing would dissuade him from the orthodoxy, the rightness of his teaching. Nothing would dissuade him from living a holy and upright life. Likewise, nothing would deter him from his journey to the cross, from the shedding of his blood for us, for you, and for me. He was not deterred when his own disciples and friends stood in his way, nor was he deterred when the Pharisees attempted to keep him from entering Jerusalem, as our gospel text reads today. "Get away from here," the Pharisees snarl at him, "for King Herod wants to kill you." Now, this is almost certainly a lie. Since when Herod had been given the chance to kill Jesus, he showed no interest in killing him. He just wanted to see him perform a miracle or two. Furthermore, the Pharisees could have cared less if Herod killed our Lord. They wanted him to die. In fact, they would have been happy if Herod had succeeded. So in all likelihood, what these Pharisees were trying to do was scare Jesus away from their turf, away from Jerusalem, where he and his teaching might do serious harm to their influence and control. But far from being frightened or intimidated, Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course.'" It's as if Jesus was saying, "You think I'm afraid of Herod? I cast out demons. You think I'm afraid of death? I daily overcome death and cure whomever I want." And a more accurate translation has Jesus saying, not, "And the third day I finish my course," but rather, "The third day I am brought to my goal." In other words, not Herod, but God will bring me to my goal. And the end of my goal and course is not death, but it is resurrection. So Jesus will not be intimidated. And since we are his, neither should we. Psalm 27, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Fear and intimidation are the devil's tactics. He uses all manners of threats, hoping that we, Christians, will fear something, anything, rather than God. He knows that the fear of God is the death of all other fears. Should we fear the world, the devil, or other men when our lives are in the hands of God? Of course not. As the Small Catechism teaches us, we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. What things make you fear to be a Christian? What things make you fear to be more boldly Christian in all that you say and all that you do? Perhaps it is the fear of being ridiculed. Ridicule might come from those outside of the church or from those inside of it. Perhaps it is the fear of being labeled a religious fanatic or a Bible thumper or, in our conservative Lutheran circles, a pietist. What things make you fear to be more boldly Christian in all that you say and do? Perhaps you fear losing your job or losing opportunities for your children. Perhaps you fear the Rainbow Pride Mafia will sue you or that you'll be charged with a hate crime. Beloved, in these days, we need to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. But we cannot and must not be dissuaded from being fully Christian. We must not be dissuaded by those inside of the church or outside of the church. We must not be deterred by threats or by fear. We cannot and must not do anything that is less than fully biblical, fully confessional, fully evangelical, or fully Lutheran. For each one of these terms, when properly understood, is exactly who we are. And we do not gain our sense of value from the approval of the world who hates our God. Nor do we gain our sense of value from the approval of people who hate our God. Why would we care about what they think? Likewise, we don't gain sense of worth from those who, through fear, attempt to turn us into something that we are not. We are Christians, and our worth and our value comes from Christ, who bought us with his own precious blood. Jesus was not at all afraid of Herod or the threats of the Pharisees. He was not afraid of those outside of the church or inside of the church. He was not afraid of the very worst that men could do to him. He had come for this very purpose, the purpose of giving his life as a ransom for many. So he said, "Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow, and the following day, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem." In other words, casting out demons and curing the sick, Jesus will journey to Jerusalem, to his own death for us, and to his resurrection. He will not be bullied by the threat of death, but will nevertheless go toward it precisely to destroy its power over us. Ironically, Jerusalem means city of peace. So in the first part of Jesus' lament over Jerusalem, you can hear his anger. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it." But then you can hear, in a surprising way, his mercy. "How often would I have gathered your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings." He says this, even of those who are murderers of the prophets, even of those who killed those to whom God has sent them, God's own messengers. He speaks to the worst of the worst, the vilest of the vile. He says, "How often would I have gathered you? How often would I have made you my own dear children? How often would I have sheltered you from every danger and hidden you under my wings?" And with these words, he speaks to sinners. He speaks to us. As long as we do not reject him. For what comes next is his rejection and the acknowledgement that he has been rejected by the people of Jerusalem. He says, "And you would not." With those words, you can hear the heartbreak and emotion in our Lord Jesus. How often, how many times, how many chances, how many opportunities I gave you to receive me and my mercy, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken. Jesus says, It's a play on word, the word for forgiveness. Instead of being released from your sins, you are released from God. Your house is released and thus forsaken. And I tell you, you will not see me until you say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." No more will Jerusalem see Jesus until the last day on Palm Sunday. And indeed, no more will some of them see him until the day of judgment. What shall we say then? The same Lord who showed mercy to Nineveh destroyed Sodom. The same Lord who showed mercy to Jerusalem over and over again finally gave her over to judgment, and her temple lies in ruins to this very day. The Lord is patient and kind, but there is a limit to his patience and the point at which he says to them who have rejected him, "Fine, have it your way." So here's the question. Whose approval would you rather have? The approval of Jerusalem or the approval of Jesus? There were many who bet on Jerusalem. Whose approval would you rather have? The approval of America or the approval of Jesus? There will be many who bet on America. Will you fear those who can destroy your reputation and your finances or your body? Or will you fear the one who holds your reputation and life in his hand eternally, who graciously gives you all things, who rescues you from death and will raise your body on the last day? Everyone fears something. Who will you fear? In Psalm 103, verse 4, the psalmist says to God, "With you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared." When we realize that God is willing to set us free from all sins, that God is willing to set us free from death itself, then we simultaneously realize that he is greater than all of our sins and that he is greater than death and all who would will death against us. He is the one to be feared and him alone. For with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. It is precisely in the forgiveness of God that we learn to fear God. And in the fear of God, we lose all other fears. So also, we do not gain our sense of worth from others. We do not need to gain a sense of worth from the approval of the world. Or from success in the workplace, or even from the love of a family. We do not need to concern ourselves with having a sense of self-worth or self-esteem, because your worth comes from something far greater than yourself. Your worth comes from something far greater than your own judgments, including your own self-condemnations or your narcissistic delusions you might harbor. Your worth is proved in what was paid in order to acquire you. Your worth is proved in what was laid down for you as a ransom. And that price, that ransom, was nothing less than the blood of God poured out for you on Calvary's cross. That is your worth. Lainey, where are you, Lainey? Lainey. Today you have been baptized. God has proclaimed and promised to you through these waters that you were bought with the very blood of God. Before you were even born, God loved you. He became as you in order to give his life for your life. He became as you in order to take your sins and to give you his own righteousness. He became as you so that by whip and scourge and by nail and spear, he might pay the price necessary to purchase you as his own. Your sins have been forgiven and atoned for. and the death that awaits you, which awaits all people, has been transformed into a gateway that leads to life. All this he did before you were even born. Now that you have been born in baptism, he announces and proclaims these things to you so that you might believe, and that by believing you might have life in his name. Beloved, we all have life in his name. So we need not have any fear, not in life and not in death. For the Lord our God is for us. And if he is for us, who can be against us? Christ Jesus became as you, so that you would no longer have to be afraid. Christ Jesus became as you, so that you would join him in fearing and loving and trusting in God. Therefore, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You have been purchased by the blood of Christ. You are Christians. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.